الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Inshallah, in this majlis that we will be having, the intention is to read a few ayat of the surah which is known as Al-Kahf. For the reason that Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has created within the hearts of every person a certain connection with the surah on the day of Thursday night, Friday. It was the habit of the old people, is the habit of people today, that they would recite Surah Kahf, and they would normally say that if ever you find the error of Dajjal, it will save you. But in the minds of many a person, the era of Dajjal would one day come. It's not now, but still they would read Surah Kahf. That unique connection was one of the miracles of Allah Tabarak Ta'ala. That a person would just be inspired to read it. He would not understand the meaning, he would not understand why I'm reading it. He would never understand what relationship it has with the era of Dajjal. He would never understand how it will make sure that I will be protected from the fitan of Dajjal. But when Thursday night would come, normally the surah would open up. He would either read from the beginning, he would read from the ending, he would read somewhere in the middle. There would be so many people who would memorize the surah. The intention today is to create a living relationship with the surah. So different ulama explained, Hazrat Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahimullah, he wrote that for years and years, I remember my granny, how she taught me up when I was small to read Surah Kahf. And I would always think, what relationship this really got with Dajjal? And I felt that there must be some relationship. So he wrote a small risala on it. Then he writes that he got the news of a great Allama of the time, who was one of the students of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahimullah, who ayat by ayat of the surah, explained what its relationship is with the era we're living in, and why is this era known as an era of Dajjal. Verse by verse, and what relationship it had. And that was explained in detail. My desire is to touch on a few points that we normally see in the world around us. And how the surah, when we read it the next time, some thought must go in my mind. And what a unique example my Allah has given. And how He explained the whole thing in front of me. And what I will expect to see in the light of how the verses of Surah Kahf start and end. At the beginning of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says that there is a warning that there will be war. بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ. It will be a terrible war, but this war will have a unique feature which is called لَدُنِّي. لَدُنِّي, normally only in madrasa you will hear this word which got to do with ilm. You will say one person, he went to study, he had a very strong mind. He understood all the kitabs, the books. Thereafter he became an alim because he was a man who was greatly intellectually powerful. Then you say there was another student who never looked so great. But after he graduated, Almighty Allah blessed him with knowledge from his side. That is called ladunni. Ladunni means it will be from my side. When you look at the individual, you will never think he'll survive. Ya Allah Tabarakala was going to explain that there will be a war in the world. It will not be 5 days and 10 days. This is a war that's carrying on for the last 300, 400, 500 years. It is a war that has gone out of his way to see that Islam from east to west must not stand. But this war began at a time where technology was given to one world. It was given to the world of kufr. Science was given to them. Exploration of the earth and the skies were given to them. Tanks were given to them, ships were given to them. And the Muslim Ummah, who once upon a time was in the forefront, when Constantinople was conquered, at that time the Muslim Ummah was the only powerful force in the world that could purchase that weapons which was used for the conquest of Constantinople. If any person ever made a journey to Turkey, and if in Istanbul you go to the place where the conquest took place, they still have that cannon which was used to break through the wall. But the engineer who made that cannon, he was not a Muslim.
So he went first to the Christian king and said to him, I will build something for you, which can take down any wall in the world. The only problem was the Christian emperor was unable to provide that amount of money which was needed. A non-Muslim will land up in front of Sultan Muhammad al-Fatih. He will say, I can create for you that, but there is a problem. In front of Muhammad al-Fatih, when he mentioned, with it you will take down the wall of Constantinople, he told him, after that there's no but. Whatever expense will be needed, whatever money it will come, and the amount that was created, those cannons that were taken, if anyone saw that and understood from which land those cannons were moved, in an era where they never have trucks, how many oxen were used, how many farms were used, what and what soldiers were provided, one cannon was transported, one after the other. But the emperor, the Christian emperor, did not have the funds for even one. Muhammad al-Fatih created a military of those cannons. But then there was a time where everything went upside down. The Muslim Ummah no longer was going to have those weapons. They were not going to be flying in the space. If they needed, they now had to purchase from non-Muslim powers. We need weapons, we need you to supply the weapons. If we need soldiers, you will have to teach us how our soldiers must fight. We need intelligence, we will take it from you. Everything we need from you. At that time, for the Muslim Ummah to think, how will we now survive against kufr? So the surah started with mil ladun. That this will be a war where Almighty Allah will be fighting the war. So the Muslim Ummah will be zero in weapons. There will be zero in soldiers. There will be zero in intelligence. There will be zero in everything. But because it will be a war which Allah Tawarakullah will be fighting, year after year, and the Ummah will still stand. It doesn't fall. Thereafter the surah explained about the people of the Kahf, and how they went into a cave, how they were saved. Then Allah Tawarakullah spoke about the fitan of the era. You will see the fitan of wealth. You will see people going wild for empires, to have a unique garden, to have a unique business. So Allah Tawarakullah said, give them this example, give them that example. Because the fitan of Dajjal, the first place that it was going to attack, was not going to be on the battlefield, but was going to be on the mind of every individual in the world. Money was the main, and women were the main. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fitnatu ummati al-mal. That with money, iman was going to be born, bought out. So it was going to be put out. Become this, become that, become that. Every father will say, I value iman. And then they will ask, where's your son? He will say, I sent him to study. They will say, you sent him into an arena of kufr. He will say, I know, but because of the wealth, it's worth it. But if he doesn't enter in there, how is he going to get money? Money was going to be that first test. And in that money, everyone will see someone more wealthier. And you will wonder, how can I reach where he reached? So certain people in suit and tie will come, and they will explain, why don't you join our league, our club? At the beginning, it will be a baby club. In South Africa, we never saw still that era. In other countries, when a person is in university, people come up to him and say, do you want to become a Freemason? He can even be a Muslim hafiz. He can even be an alim sometimes studying in the university. A man will say, do you want to become a Freemason? So he asks, what does it mean to become a Freemason? He says, we will make your dreams become real. We will make your dreams become real. And boys enter, because they find nothing wrong with it. They don't find Satanism on the outside. But when you enter this club, then there's one law in the club, that after entering, there's no turning back now. Now you just move. And as you move, you will become more and more wealthier, and you will lose more and more iman. So Allah Tabarakallah spoke about what is the world of shayateen. And Allah Tabarakallah in the surah asked a question, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. There will a time come where you will make Iblis and the army of Iblis your friends. Because that boy who enters the club, he also knows that the DJ is nothing but You'll wonder where that word DJ came from. In my understanding, DJ is a short of Dajjal. It was going to be nothing else. But the boy who sings and he dances, he even sees in that man's eye. He sees the color which shows this man is a jinn. But still he will go next week again. Because he's finding that pleasure which he's not getting anywhere else in the world. So Allah Tabarakallah never said you won't get pleasure by him. But he asked this question, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ, that will it be that you will take Iblis and his progeny as your friends, leaving your Allah? And then Allah Tabarakallah said, بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا, that what a terrible substitution you have made, that you left your Allah. But the world was going to see that. Thousands and thousands would fall in sajda in front of the DJ. But if that man is to make sajda in the masjid, it's very hard. The era where Satanism was going to open up itself to the world is what we're living in today. 10 years before in South Africa, loudly, you would never hear someone inviting towards a religion called Satanism. It was still Christianity. Now in the last few days, Christianity got wrapped up also. The Pope even said, close the Bible. Now there is nothing in the world which is called of religion but the religion of Islam. We are the sole and only targets. Every war is only on us. So Allah Tabarakallah spoke about what is the shaitani world and how it will open up. And then Allah Tabarakallah explains at the end of the surah an incident which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst his many ahadith which were lengthy, there were hardly many. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words were very short. But there were certain ahadith which he explained a long waqiyah incident. This was one. Quran also explained it in detail. It was going to cover of the surah 1, 2, 3 pages. Quran normally with one verse would explain an encyclopedia. For 3 pages to come for this waqiyah, it was going to give messages that we are going to see in the world around us. We understand it as the incident of Musa alayhi salam in Khidr. In school we learned about it, in madrasa we learned. My brother would have told me, my sister would have told me. Somewhere along the line we all like stories. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once sitting with Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned this incident in detail. So we will go through this. How Quran mentioned the incident and a few parts from the ahadith. We are living in a world where a couple of things hit our mind because of what is called the digital age, WhatsApp. If a war takes place in Iraq, an Islam war has been taking place from very long. But it was at that time, if war was taking place in Iraq, I was not seeing it on my camera, on my phone. Because of which Muslims were being killed and tortured and maimed. The Muslim Ummah would still read Dua-i Qunut, but they wouldn't see that body. Some say it's good to see, then you know what's happening in the world. But what happened when people started looking at it? One question went in the mind, which is why? That if we are the correct ummah, then why? That, oh Allah, where are you? As though Allah Tabarakallah ever became weak. That question, why, is one of the problems we are living in today. Whoever looks at that when they come back from those lands, they go to give humanitarian aid. But when they come back in depression. And when you sit with them, they need someone to give them aid. Suddenly shaitan makes one blow and that man now loses his trust in Almighty Allah. And he will come and sit. I'll walk out of a masjid sometimes. If say only one question. And that one question is, if Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen, then he says, I can't see this. How is Allah allowing it? He said, the problem was you went into the wrong arena. You also caught in the trap of Dajjal. The surah was going to explain the issue of why and what we have to do and how to do it. Before going into the surah, I will just explain one principle. There are 3 words that we have. One is why, one is try, and one is cry. They are all similar. As for regarding to why, this incident will explain that question why, which Allah Tabarakallah in another place of Quran says, لا يسأل عما يفعل, that Allah will never be questioned why He does, so don't ask why. But me and you, what we have to do, we have to carry on trying, and we have to carry on crying. Whoever will cry, whether in the world issues or in my personal issue, if my wife suddenly, she was so good and so sweet, and then she fell pregnant, after she became pregnant, then she just changed. The rose became something else. So that man now asks the question, why? So what you will say to him? You will say, your job is to carry on to try and to cry. Try means there are 100 doctors in the world. Go visit all of them with your wife. One after the other, one after the other, one after the other. Try. No one said don't try. Me and you normally do try. A boy who's not getting married, you ask him how's things going. He said, I already visited the 7th girl, 8th girl. Now he said, I'm getting tired. I don't want to see tea anymore. Every house is tea. But what do you tell him? Say, carry on. Try. But why does depression come? Because when we try, we don't cry. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam loved Yusuf alayhi salam in a manner no father can ever imagine. He knew that his sons took Yusuf alayhi salam away. He was not sure if Yusuf alayhi salam was killed or not killed. But when you looking at the very person who you convinced destroyed your son, how do you eat in front of that person? And not for one day, 2 days, 3 days, years and years, Yaqub alayhi salam looked at them and behaved to them like a loving father. Knowing in the back of his mind that these are the people who took my son away. So years later, when Binyamin was taken to Egypt, whoever knows the incident, this was the last son, Yusuf alayhi salam's real brother, the last hope of Yaqub alayhi salam. When the brother said, we need to take him to Egypt, Yaqub alayhi salam said, it mustn't happen what happened with Yusuf. And they promised it won't, but Allah tabarakallah wanted it to happen, it happened. Now no Binyamin is, he's also taken away. So when they came to Yaqub alayhi salam, he went into a state that another son. So at that time he said, forget Binyamin, he started speaking about Yusuf alayhi salam. So his one son said to him, that are you going to still mention Yusuf? That was years ago, Yusuf. So he said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. He said, when I cry to Allah. He said, وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I understand certain things from Allah which you don't understand. What was this he was speaking about? It was this. That in the world a lot of imtihans will come. One after the other, like the waves of the ocean. But that man will manage to sail over every wave, who tries during the day, but he cries at night. Me and you, we make dua to sort out the problem. Dua was never meant for that. Dua was meant to make me sail over the problem. The world will always come with problems. Ulama have written, when Allah Tabarakallah said, you ask and I will accept. They said the meaning of acceptance was not what me and you thought. I lifted up my hands, oh Allah, I'm old. She's also old. Oh Allah, you won't say make me young, say oh Allah, give me someone younger. That's how we all always wait, maybe my wife will die, maybe she'll die, maybe she'll die, then I'll marry that other. Now imagine if dua was like that. So I will make, what a dua. So I will make dua for a lovely house. I'll make dua for a smart car. I'll make dua for a lot of money just coming in one way. And when the wife sees a smart house, she sees a smart car, she sees a lot of money, then she'll also lift up her hands. But she'll make dua that, oh Allah, keep the house, keep the car, keep the money, give me another husband. The house will be there, me and you will be gone. If dua had to be accepted just like that, the world will be chaotic. Ulama explained the meaning of I will accept your dua is when this hand lifts up to Almighty Allah, or even if the hand doesn't lift, there's a certain strength that falls from the heavens into the heart of an individual, which is called inshira of the chest, opening of the chest. It is called itminan qalb. It makes a man so strong that now when the water hits him, he just stands. which Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah would explain, that that person who is blessed with a connection from Almighty Allah, he will be in the middle of the ocean, but when you will see him, you will think he's standing on the shore. He said, as for the rest of the world, they are on the shore. One, two drops of water hit them and they start moving their hands like they're drowning. They will be making this phone call and that phone call. Sometimes at night one man will phone me and say, Ma, are you awake? I want to tell him, I woke up now because of you. You awake, I'm sleeping, I'm not going to stay awake for you. At that time you say, if now you go on the musalla, tomorrow you will be sleeping like me also. But you want the problem to go. The problems are not going to go. The world is a correction of problems. Collection. It comes. You get a rose, you get a thorn with the rose. You got health, every day you got the worry of sickness. You got wealth, every day you'll have the worry of poverty. One alim said, you get a rose, you get a thorn with the rose. You get a wife, you get an in-law with the wife. You accept the whole thing. It all comes. You don't want one, you're not getting the other. But can you get rid of the problems? You sail over the problems. How does man sail? When a connection is made with Allah of crying. We try and we cry and this ummah moves in that manner. The world is crying. We crying for small problems. The world is crying for big problems. Islam is crying. But it is trying and crying that will sort out everything. And when Allah's decision is then made, then things will just happen. How it will happen? It will happen like this. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ Nabi Musa alayhi salam said, I will not stop until I meet this man. Almighty Allah had informed him there's a unique servant of his who has a certain knowledge which is different. Musa alayhi salam wanted to know it. That really had no relationship with me and you. It was a once off with Musa alayhi salam. But when this incident was going to become part of Surah Kahf, and one of the main parts of it, it means Khidr was taking us into an era, what we call an era of Dajjal. And during this era, he was explaining to us that I will take you around the world and show you how Almighty Allah does things. So that the next time you want to ask why, then you will just think of Khidr and you will say, rather don't ask why. I will try and I will cry and things will just happen. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam meets him at a certain spot. The first thing he says to him, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا But I want to follow you. Following, no problem. Let's go around. He says, so that I can understand the knowledge that you have been given. Meaning I want to also come in Iraq and see what's happening. And I also want to go into Sham. I also want to go in the house, White House, and see the plans they are making. Among the fitnas of Dajjal is this also, that a lot of people had a lot of interest in understanding the Dajjali working of the world. So we will spend hours and hours on the internet. And we will go into different files and different sites. And you will want to understand what is happening. There are some people who work with the jinn. So they will say to the jinn, I want you to go to the White House. Try and find out what's happening in the shaitani world. Just like how you get mafia on the normal ground. In the world of jinn, you also get mafia. How you get small mafia and you get big mafia. In the world of the jinn, you also get big mafia. There were those amils who sent their jinn, small jinn, to go find out big stories. When you interfere in big problems, you get big hiding also. When big jinn started wondering what the small one is interfering with, the small jinn got finished, the amil also got finished after. That person who gets stuck on internet sites, which invite him to learn the levels of the Illuminati, and to understand the secrets, very soon he also gets attacked by jinnat or jadu. We have not been told to go deep, especially into their circles. No one said to go to a Freemason lodge, and to say, I'll see what's happening, and to get in, you don't get out. We have been told to stay far. To understand what's happening in the whole world, I want to know what's happening here, what's happening there. I want to know the politics, I want to know behind the scenes. Nabi Musa alayhi salam said, can I be with you to understand this whole happening? First thing Khidr alayhi salam said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. That you will see such amazing things happening, you will not manage to be patient. You won't manage. When you will see that bomb fall and you will see that entire country is wiped out, you will walk past and you will see blood everywhere. First question you will ask, why? You are going to ask, me and you are men. He said, you will not manage to make sabr. Nabi Musa alayhi salam said, inshallah you will find me, I'll make sabr. I want to go to it, so I give you 3 chances, but you won't manage. When a Nabi of the time could not manage, me and you are not going to manage. So don't ever look at the world with the question, why? Because at the end of 3, Nabi Musa alayhi salam will admit, I shouldn't have asked why. How Allah was doing it was unique. But he was going to be taken through 3 roads. 3 roads was going to explain our world, what we are seeing today. The first road was they landed on a place. To understand it in the light of the ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khidr alayhi salam stood. They were at the edge of the water. This was an individual, a servant of Allah, who if he put his hand in his pocket, he never have money for the boat. He just stood there with Musa alayhi salam. He needed to move on the waters. Suddenly the boat comes. Suddenly the person sees him. They say, suddenly, why don't you come on the boat? Musa alayhi salam is wondering, who's going to pay for it? They say, you are a very pious man, don't worry of paying. In that a message was going to be given, that this ummah will last without any means whatsoever. When they will stand at the water and Allah makes a decision, suddenly the boat will come. Suddenly there will be no money, suddenly you will be invited on. You will not understand it, but revolution takes place in the world. How? You'll get one alim, he graduated in Azadville, he graduated in India, wherever he graduated. Perhaps he doesn't even know English. He's invited in the United States of America. For him it's a big name. Now he lands up in New York City, in the city of Fir'aun itself. Now they say to him, you know what, we opened up one small masjid, you'll be the imam sahab. So he says, no problem, where? They take him. Opposite his small masjid, which is like a garage, he will see one huge skyscraper. In that skyscraper, the biggest plans are being made, how to attack this country and that country. Files and files are being opened up. Limousines are landing up there. People are going upstairs, downstairs, think tanks of the world. And this poor Maulana, when he looks at it, his topi falls out also. So why? My garage is so short. But he sits in his small garage, and he gets 5 students around him. And he starts teaching them basic Quran, Alif, Ba, Ta, Sa. And if the angel has to come at that time, then the angel will say, revolution has started. Revolution. They say, what revolution? They will say, in the light of this garage, the unique palaces of Fir'aun are going to come tumbling to the ground. They say, that small garage was going to make revolutions. Deen will spread in this manner, that when you look at the outside, you will see absolutely nothing. But it will be that absolutely nothing that will go over everything. That's how we are living. In the incident of the boat, 2 messages were going to be given. Message number 1, that we also always say the innocent are being killed. In these wars that are taking place, you see who's being. And you see someone who got no understanding also of the war. And sometimes you see the very good people. And you will ask, oh Allah, in my life, I never used to read Quran, never used to read Salah. Life was moving for me. Then I decided to change. I put a beard. When I put the beard, my girlfriend left me. I came to the masjid, I had an accident. What happened to my car? My business went. So the man says, the day I started coming to the masjid, all problems came. How does the world work? So Khidr alayhi salam was going to jump onto a boat of people who never charged. They were good people. As the boat was moving, this unique servant of Almighty Allah was going to make his magic. In the magic he was going to show that Almighty Allah also has magic. And they also have their magic. In a unique manner he makes a hole in the boat without making any sound. How will you make a hole in a boat without sound? You have to be a person with the finger of Khidr. So most likely with his finger he just goes and suddenly you got a hole. No sound, no plank being pulled. Musa alayhi salam will look and say, hey, water is going to come in. But water never enters. What a hole, how can water never enter? With the finger of Khidr, he must have just gone zzz again. And suddenly there was a created glass or glue that you can see the water, but the water is not entering. And that one aid, that one fault on the boat was what Khidr smiled at. And Musa alayhi salam said, what did you do? That what? He said, after these people did so much for us, that's mine and your question. That oh Allah, the day I change, now why? So later on Khidr alayhi salam will explain to Nabi Musa alayhi salam that in the knowledge of Almighty Allah which I was given, he said on the next journey of this boat in the waters, they would have passed by the king's soldiers. A decision had already been made. Where was the decision? Maybe in the White House it was. In a black house it was. Wherever it was, a lot of plans in the world, but one Allah is above all plans. A decision was already made that every boat will be taken for the king. What is needed for a war which he was making with the neighboring king. The war is taking place right now. Whatever boat is in need of repairs, just leave it. As the soldiers were going to go past, they would see two people looking at their boat and wondering, what happened here? Just that one look, that one taklif, that one saw, that one, hey, let's move it back into the harbor to repair it. He said, in the one problem, Almighty Allah protected their entire sustenance. But me and you would have seen it as a hole in the boat. But in the knowledge of Almighty Allah, this hole was going to sort out many problems in the world. Don't ever ask why, O Allah, because later if Khidr has to say to you, that I can also tell you, but you need 35 years to understand why now. It just doesn't happen like that. So let the boat go. The second message he was going to give, which was a unique message, to understand in the era of the Dajjal, the meaning of Haqq and Batil. He said that the only boat of the people of the truth that will manage to move over the waters is a boat which doesn't look fit for moving on the waters. The only boat of the truth in the era of Dajjal or the era of darkness which will manage to move on the waters will be a boat that does not look fit to move on the waters. To understand this, when the British attacked India, at that time Delhi was the power of Islam. In Delhi, ulama from east to west were taken out. Allah Ta'ala inspired certain ulama. They opened up a madrasa called Deoband. They supposed to open it in the city, they opened it in a village. Because in a village nothing happens. They opened it under a tree. In that you're supposed to start teaching the ummah. That to fight again you have to become a lawyer, you have to become a scientist, we have to bring the Khilafah back again. We have to fight all these great, great people, how we'll do it? So we have to have jihad and we have to have politics, we have to have this. What they opened up a madrasa was a small kitab. Even when spies would come to the madrasa, they would go back and say, there is nothing to fear, this is a place with a hole. When Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas rahimullah established his work of tabligh, the jamaats would move country to country. Shaitani powers would say, this is the fear of the next era. But the people on the ground would look at it. And they would say, there is nothing in this jamaat. I moved with them. They discussed nothing at all. But in that one ship which was going to move with the hole, it was the only ship of the truth which would move in the waters. Any ship which would look smart, any ship which would look unique, any ship which would say we don't need money, we got enough funding, any ship which could stand up to the powers of the time, you must understand that ship has been taken over by the king already. It's not our ship. The day the madrasa says we don't need sponsors, that day it's not our madrasa anymore. When I was in Nigeria now, so one of the things that I enjoyed was to have a chance to sit with one boy who's an alim, but he studied in Jordan. So I said to him that in Jordan, I got some students in the madrasa from Jordan. They came to Azadul to study. And they said in Jordan, there's no Islam allowed. So how you went to study in Jordan? So he said, no, in Jordan you can study, but you study in the university. Islamic university. But outside the university you can't study. So ask, how is it in the university? First I thought he'll be very modern, because you go to those universities, you come out modern. But sometimes it's beyond. So he says, the university is so terrible that I will sit in the class next to a girl. That girl, she'll have no trouser on. And then he just made his hands like this. He said, when you look at her, where are you going to think about hadith? He said, one teacher came from Arabia. He also got a shock. Now, how does he teach qala, qala Rasulullah, looking at her leg? So he asked her, can't you put a blanket or something? He was called to the office. That we never called you here to tell our girls how to dress. You must teach. I was shocked. I said, how does that man teach Quran? Looking at that scene. When the university is called smart university, then you will understand it's not our shop anymore. Many a person came to the madaris and they said, make your madrasa like the universities of the world. But the universities of the world got the funding of the world. The day the madrasa takes one rand from shaitani sources, that entire shop is gone after that. They will repair the windows. You rather have a madrasa where there's no window. In our madrasa, when we used to sleep in the boarding, we said there's no need for aircon because the wind would come through the bricks also. But the day it comes smart, then the day you know it's not yours anymore. It's now gone. The only ship that will manage to sail in the waters of fitan, which is a ship of the haqq, is a ship which got the whole of Khidr. That when you will look at it, you say you're going to sink, you're not going to manage. That ship will sail against every ship of the world. Whether it sailed in the way of tabligh, or in the way of the madaris, or in the way of the khankas, or in the way of small groups. We all know what little effort we do, it doesn't stand up to anything at all. But when that power is called a ladunni power from Allah's command, sometimes one sentence changes the world. This is that war. The day you change the ship sinks. You will move in this era with a broken ship and you are safe. Thereafter Musa alayhi salam in Khidr will carry on. He said, didn't I warn you, you won't make sabr? He said, give me another chance. We will also say, okay, second chance, we understood now. But that we understood because of a small problem. As they will walk past, there's a young boy. Khidr alayhi salam will take the boy. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, إِذَا لَقِيَ هُلَامًا فَقَتَلَ. He found the boy, he killed the boy. In the ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he took out the whole boy's head. You cannot take out a head just like that, but you need a finger of Khidr. You can break someone's neck, but you can't take out a head. How do you break the entire bone? But the finger of Khidr, we might think barbaric. But remember, when Khidr could make a hole in the boat without one sound, Khidr could cause the death of a boy without any pain also. It would be one touch, the boy would be unconscious. It would be one nice buzz, and suddenly the head is out. There would hardly be anything that would be a scream, but Musa alayhi salam saw death. أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. So he would ask a question on behalf of me and you. That are you just allowing the killing of a child who's so innocent? And that is what's happening in the wars of today. When those bombs fall, who's the target? The target will never be the old of this ummah. Because the old of the ummah will not be the army of Hazrat al-Mahdi. It will be the youngsters of the ummah. Old people will not fight, they'll be old. The war is that no Muslim child must be born. To prevent the child, there is something called birth control. There is one Jamaat came from Palestine at one time. He said that there are certain Jews who walk around in Masjid al-Aqsa. They even sprinkle water on people. He said, in that water there is a certain thing they read, so the people will never give child, will never give birth, so that no children are born in the land. So I asked him, so what's the result? So he laughed. He said, you know, when Israel was bombing Gaza, whichever, so many times they bombed already, but one of those times when they were bombing, he says, in that era, so many Muslim children died because of the bombing. Because of bombing, your ears burst also. Forget the one who gets knocked. He said, so many died. But he said, unique in that same bombing, more children were born. Me and you, our wife gets falls pregnant. One child, 9 months, we worrying about who's the doctor, who's the nurse, who's the hospital, this machine, that machine. That woman gave birth while bombs were falling. He said, more than died during those days were born. Who is the creator of children? Almighty Allah. One command and suddenly children are just coming in the world. The amount that has been done to make sure Muslims do not give birth to children. But Allah tabarak ta'ala has one command and children are just coming. أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً. The target of shaitan is going to be the young innocent child. But when that bomb falls, and if I see that picture of a young child and I see blood around, and I see his janaza, then sometimes I also say, oh Allah, why? So Nabi Musa alayhi salam said, why? لَقَدْ جِئْتَ شَيْئًا نُكْرًا. نُكْرًا, نَكِرًا. نَكِرًا means this is something there's no way you can understand. So later on Khidr alayhi salam would explain that in the blood of this boy, Allah had written the hidayah of that nation. He said, Almighty Allah had written another child for this family. But that family could only get one child. Had it been this child, he explained, then this child would have given later on in life to his parents a lot of difficulty. Their crying now is much better than what they would have cried later. He said, but in lieu of this blood, Almighty Allah will bless them with a child. Comes in the ahadith who was going to be a source of guidance for that entire village or entire people of that era. In the war that is taking place with the blood that we see, Allah tabarak ta'ala is creating a coming revolution. But revolutions are created first with tears and then with blood. First with tears and then with blood. A lot of blood is needed and you will see something happening. Where Allah tabarak ta'ala in the end of the Quran, where Allah tabarak ta'ala speaks about the people of قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ, that there was an era where evil king, first he killed a young boy. Nabi Sallallahu also explained that in detail. But the boy then stood in front of the king and said, if you want to kill me, kill me. But you will have to shoot the arrow after taking the name in the name of Allah. So the king had the people call. The boy told him, you will not manage to kill me except in this manner. The king said, this is the best to send a message to the rest of the world that don't you dare stand against me. I will kill him in front of all. That's what's happening today. When they take that picture and send it out, the intention is to say to the world, don't you dare stand against us, otherwise your children will also be bleeding. But the opposite happens. The boy stood. He told the king, pull your arrow and you will have to say in the name of the Rabb of this boy, and only then you will kill. However the king said it, but Almighty Allah amplified his voice. That sound was heard by the entire jamaat of people. Must be hundreds, could have been thousands. The arrow hit. The boy put his hand on the place of the arrow. He would fall so unique to the ground. In the era of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, they would find this boy's grave. They would take out a fresh young boy. They would move his hand, blood would start coming. They left the hand, it just stopped. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote that this is that same boy mentioned in Quran, mentioned in the ahadith. When that boy fell, the blood of that one boy created revolution. House after house started reading kalima. The soldier comes to the king, the wording of the ahadith, they say, what you feared happening, that has now gone out of control. Now everyone is believing. Then the king said, create trenches, put fires, no one likes to be burnt. Go house to house, door to door, ask, do you believe in who? If he wants to believe in Allah, the Rabb of the boy, he must walk into the trench. They dug trenches at the entrances of every village. What was that iman of that boy, that he never even give one bayan to those people? Those people walked into the fire. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the only woman who stopped was because her child was drinking. In the love of the child, she just stopped. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the child, baby, looks at the mother and says, oh my mother, you are on the truth. Don't stop. And then the mother walks in. With the blood of that entire nation, Ulama have written that shortly after that was the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Revolution starts when there's a lot of blood and tears. أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. Have you allowed the killing of a child for no reason? Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam says, I told you, you will not manage to make sabr. That you cannot understand the workings of Allah, so don't even look if you can't understand. You'll need the eye of a Khidr. أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. I said to you, you will not manage this game. إِنْ سَأَلْتُكَ عَنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَهَا فَلَا تُصَاحِبْنِي. So he says, if I ask you one more, then it's finished. He says, come, let's carry on. Then he will take him to a village. They will enter the village. Khidr got no food. He got no money. If he needed, he would have taken out money and bought some food. Musa alayhi salam is in a foreign land. Musa alayhi salam is hungry. Khidr doesn't get hungry. He's a unique servant of Almighty Allah. This is that individual who Almighty Allah made independent of food also. Ulama have difference, is he still around or not? Some ulama have written that the authentic view or the best view, he is around. Others have written the best view is he is not around. So he is such a unique individual, no one knows whether he is alive or dead also. Both sense is the best view. Some ulama have written is a collection between man and angel. Some have written that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimullah going for Hajj, he found an individual who said, I will join you. On the journey, whenever Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal needed to stop, he stopped. But when Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was eating, he never ate. And they say Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimullah later on would feel that that man on that journey was no one but Khidr. In the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was there. On the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came there. Ali radiallahu anhu later on said to someone, do you know who he was? That was Khidr. So when he reached right till there, most likely, one of the narrators of the hadith of Muslim, where one man will suddenly one day come in front of the Dajjal, which will be the final encounter of man to man. He will stand up and he will say, that I have come to say to all, you are that terrible Dajjal. The narrators of the hadith said, we have the feeling that that one who is known as young, full of iman, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the greatest martyr on earth. They said, we have the feeling that will be none but Khidr. So perhaps he will pull with us till the ending. If he pulls with this ummah till the ending, he's giving a message to the ummah. Because me and you, we all know Almighty Allah is Allah. But in the world of what is called Darul Asbab, Sabab, cause and effect, we like to see something happening. So example, when I lift up my hands and say, oh Allah, do this for me, oh Allah, do this for me, oh Allah, do. We know Allah does without any cause. But because me and you like cause, so when I hear a knock on the door, I get happy, I say, hey, help has come. Because I can only see help in the form of man. It seems Almighty Allah left this individual in the world, so that the happenings of the world behind the scenes, this is just an example, I don't know if it happens. But if I put you in the shoes of Khidr, perhaps one day you might see this. You might see an individual who's smiling. This is just perhaps, I haven't met him, so I don't know how he works. But it's a perhaps. That is an individual who can go through everything, like how he made a hole in the boat without any sound. He can make a hole in your wall also without any sound. He can go into the White House also and press a button and doors will open. He might be sitting in the place where the best of decisions are being made. He might be taking out the tea for the person also. And as they're signing off that next decision, he's also seeing what's happening. And then he will walk out as he walked in. Then he will be in this country. And just that one individual who has to be saved, the whole country perhaps will go. But on one individual, Almighty Allah has written hidayat for another nation. So suddenly that one individual will find someone grabbed his hand and just pulled him out. He'll never know in his life who pulled him. Then he will be taken somewhere, he won't know who brought him. One man will bring one young boy to the madrasa and say, accept him in the madrasa. Ask, where's that person who brought you? The boy say, I also don't know who he is. He'll never be known again. That boy will suddenly become the great allama of the era. He will create changes in the lives of thousands and thousands. They will ask you where you came from. You will say, my history is a mystery. I also don't know. Allah tabarak ta'ala got a unique army happening in the world. And that unique army, when we see everything around us, we see that army also. It's a unique army. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, وَيَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. No one will understand the armies of Almighty Allah. This is just one servant from that army. One servant. أَقَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا زَكِيَّةً بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. Are you allowing the death of an innocent? Khidr alayhi salam said, come, you will never understand Allah's doing. One blood will create hidayah for that nation. When there's Lord blood, what you expect is coming in the future. We are on the brink of an Islamic revolution. On the brink of an Islamic revolution. But you just have to be ready to look over the hill. You can't look at the hill. So they come to the place and they say, food. The people say, refuse to give them. فَأَبَوْ أَيُّ ضَيِّفُوهُمَا. So Khidr alayhi salam is going out of the town. Musa alayhi salam is Musa alayhi salam, is irritated. There is a wall that is ready to fall. Musa alayhi salam, he'll be ready to give it one extra push. Fall! Khidr alayhi salam, it doesn't come that he says to Musa alayhi salam, hey, I need help, let's put up this wall. I don't know if any of you ever did building, but if you see one day a wall falling, don't be so ignorant that you go and try and push it up. No wall is going to go up. To put up a wall, you'll have to bring the wall down. You'll have to dig. You will have to put up an entire foundation again. No one can go to a wall and say, I'll just push it straight. Walls don't become straight. But Khidr is Khidr. Khidr will just go up to the wall, put his hand there, فَأَقَامَ اللَّهَ تَوَرُكُلَ says, he just put it straight. The whole wall went straight. One move on the hand, one command of Almighty Allah, an entire world can change. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. You will never understand the armies of Allah. There is no need for cement, there was no need for bricks, there was no need for architects. One push, the whole wall. Nabi Musa a.s., fascinated about the wall, irritated. He said, if you were going to fix the wall, you could have first told them, you know, I'll fix your wall, you'll pay something, we'll buy food. So Khidr a.s. will smile and say, I told you, you will not understand, game over. هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ meant what? He said, this is the separation between me and you, what it meant. Not that I am angry with you. He said that you have entered into an arena which is not for you. Your arena is dawah amongst your people. Your job is to try and to cry. This is another arena which is called arena of divine decisions. You will never understand the divine decisions of Allah. You do your job and Allah Ta'ala is doing His. هذا فراق بيني. You got a lot to do. But the day you wanted to enter here, you go wild. You get confused. هذا فراق. You will not manage. And you will fall in a depression. But the day you do what you have to do, and Allah Ta'ala does, 1,400 years of effort kufr has made to destroy Islam. It never started today. Shi'iyat never started today. Qadiyaniyat never started today. Fitan of the time never started today. Whatever happened in the past, it took 50 days to 50 years. Within 50 years, the religion of the Nabi of the time was zero. There was no religion left. It never went more than 50 years. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, I am the last Nabi of Allah, no Nabi after. At that time, Iblis could have said, eh, lucky. Now at least I got 100 years to sort out this thing. It wasn't going to get sorted out in 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 1,000, 1,1, 1,2, 1,3. It was going to be so uniquely protected that even a sentence which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he woke up in the morning was going to reach me and you also. When that small sentence was going to reach the big, everything was going to come. Never just happened. So Allah is doing His. He said, هَذَا فِرَاقُ. You do what you have to do. Cry and try. And Allah Ta'ala will worry about the wise. But then He was going to explain now when He said to Musa alayhi salam, now game is over. Let me explain to you three waqiyat. We already explained two, the last. Why did you put up the wall? So one is that one question that we have. The people who are good, they're having problems. Like the people of the boat. And the people who are bad, they're driving the limousines. They got the buildings, they got the offices. Why are the bad the enjoying? Why are the good suffering? That was one. And the other was, that why is favors done to the good? So Khidr would say, that at the bottom of this favor, at the bottom of the wall, there is a treasure. And if the wall had to fall in the next few days, it was going to be written on the treasure who it belongs to, but those boys are too young. So one of their cousins or their uncles would say, I am the wali. I am the person in charge, so I'll look after their money. The day they get big, I'll give it to them. But we all know the day it goes to the big man doesn't ever go back to the small man. He says, in the falling of the wall, which seemed like a lot of benefit for the people of evil, but in the falling of the wall would have been a lot of harm to the people of good. In the putting up of the wall, which you said, why did you benefit them? But in the putting up the wall, Allah Tabarakala was saving an entire family. But then he said a sentence, he said that Almighty Allah desired that when these boys reach the age where they will manage to carry the treasure for themselves, at that time, without anyone's doing, the wall will just collapse. When it will collapse, they will be ready for it. That message that was given is what me and you ask, every day we ask, that when is going to happen? When is the call going to come of Al-Mahdi? When is the wall going to fall? So first it was told that in the era of Dajjal, the treasure of Islam, Almighty Allah will keep it protected in walls. Your Islam is supposed to be in the market, but you're not finding it there. We're supposed to be in the news, you're not finding it there. We're supposed to be everywhere in the world, but the only place we are is behind the wall. We in the walls of the masjid, we in the walls of the madrasa, walls of the khanqah. Whatever work of deen is taking place within walls. Me and you both want that it must now go out of the walls. Things must start happening, the flag must rise. But what will happen if the wall falls at the moment? Me and you are that young child who's not still ready to carry the treasure. Because if that wall falls and the call is made, join, then who knows whether me and you will be on the plane to join, or we won't be. At that time what's going to happen? He said, Allah Tabarakala is preparing the child, and the day the child is ready to carry the treasure. When the wars of Syria started, at that time there was a lot of why. One person who had visited Syria a few years before the war, said, I went to the lands of Syria and I found Europe. Everyone in Syria wanted to become a doctor, a lawyer. There was no Quran in Syria, forget Hadith. Everyone was educated. Shi'iyat was the state religion. But they weren't propagating Shi'iyat, it was just atheism. Everyone was happy with their life. At that time, if the wall had to fall, and a man called Al-Mahdi had to stand, and he said, where's my army? Then the very people he would look at will say, we don't want you. Allah Tabarakala creates the child. Now if a person visits the land of Sham, you will find a mother who lost her entire family, and she will still say, Allah is the doer. World has changed. When Allah Tabarakala creates those children who will stand ready to carry a treasure, walls are going to fall. And those children are being made. But again, why, O Allah? So Khidr alayhi salam says, leave the why to Allah. When the ummah is ready to carry, they're going to carry. The wall will automatically fall. Things will happen. هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكَ And we said, this is the end. You do your job, I do my job. This is the end with me and you also. You do your job, I do my job. هَذَا فِرَاقُ A unique lesson in the surah. Our job is to try, our job is to cry. There is no why for me and you. And Allah Tabarak Tala in the armies of Allah. One Khidr is so unique. The huge army of Allah. So we see kufr and we see fitan and we see the power of Dajjal and it's become so big. So Allah Tabarak Tala says that no matter how big their nets will become and unique what name they would take. They called it an internet. They would call it a web. They would call it a cell. Whatever name they would take, it would be I caught you or I am catching you. You caught. So Allah Tabarak Tala says, مثل الذين اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء كمثل العنكبوت is like a spider. And unique when I went to one of those, whatever you call it now, these theme parks. So So one of those theme parks that I visited that time, because my child wanted to go, Legoland it was called. So in Legoland there's a lot of rides, but every ride I could see some satanic message. So just as you enter, the first thing you see like a magician and he's pointing to you like, I caught you also, enter. But then one of those rides that I saw which was unique was a spider. So there was a lot of spiders, it's all made of Lego, so it's like how much Lego pieces must be used for that one spider. So there's like spiders that are around, but the ride is in a web. Now you're riding in that ride, but on top of you is a web and there's spiders around. And in that, when I looked at that, I said, there can't be, man. But when you go through that Legoland, you will see a lot of other rides and other things. Everything was giving a message, a satanic message that enter into our world. So when I looked at that web, and at that time I was thinking of this ayat of Quran, that Allah Ta'ala says, the example of those that have chosen besides Allah is their deity. This is nothing but the example of a spider, ittakhadhat bayta, which has made a unique web. And how many people it caught in that web. And when you see that insect stuck in the web, and you see that spider coming, then how that insect starts shivering. And you got no hope, ittakhadhat bayta, so strong. But Allah Ta'ala says, wa inna awhanal buyut labaytul ankabut. But in front of the woman of the house, the man of the house, the weakest of houses is the house of the spider. In front of the power of Almighty Allah, even that web just collapses. Which person says he's an addict, he's caught in the trap, he'll never come out of drugs. You're caught in a web. Then you go to an alim, you go to a sheikh, you go to anyone and tell him, pull me out of it. That alim will say, my friend, I'm so scared, I also get stuck in the web. Problem, you're looking at the wrong person, look at Allah. One command of Allah and suddenly the whole web just dissolves. وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اللَّهَ تَبَرَكُ لَيْسِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. If only man could understand. The power of Allah is unique, but we're living in an era. In the era it is try and it is cry. There is no why. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ